Have you ever wondered if you really are the type you think you are? Maybe you're some other type, but you're so confused. How can you feel so many other types within you at one moment? Well, stick around because I'm going to unpack a person's type, our special guest, Angie Elkins, and see, is she really the type she's thought she is, or is she something else? Hey everyone, it's Beth McCord, your Enneagram coach, and this is your Enneagram Coach, the podcast. And guess what? We're here to help you to bring lasting transformation and change in your lives and your relationships by helping you to understand yourself more clearly. And one way we do that is raising up a new generation of amazing Enneagram coaches. So if you're out there and you're intrigued and you would maybe like to be an Enneagram coach, then grab our free mini course at yourenneagramcoach.com/mini course and get a taste and a feel for what that would actually look like. Well, you may not actually be there, and that's totally fine. Maybe you're just wanting more growth and understanding of yourself. Well, then grab yourself an Enneagram coach. We have many certified Enneagram coaches that we have trained over the years. So go to myenneagramcoach.com to find one that fits you best. And if you are enjoying this podcast, please like, subscribe, and put a review in so others can find this podcast as well. And send it to your friend. Okay, I now want to jump into the heart of today. Now, today, I get to introduce you to a really, really dear friend of mine. She's the one that started this podcast with me. And then she's moved on to higher and better things that I can't wait for you to hear about. But Angie Elkins is that dear friend. In fact, we actually started our friendship way back many, many years ago as me coaching her. And then time had passed and we just struck up a great friendship. And that is where we are today. Now, Angie has had her own podcast for many years, since actually 2017. And she started her own show, which she's going to talk about, but she's also helped other podcasters like myself, your Enneagram coach, Jamie Ivey's podcast, and Jackie Hill Perry. And she is now the director of Lifeway Podcast Network. Angie and her husband, Robert, have been married for 27 years, and they have 3 kids in college. They live in Orlando, Florida, where they love to spend their free time at Disney World. Of course, where else would you be, right? Well, Angie, it is so amazing to have you here today. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me, Beth. This is so fun. This is so full circle moment.
I know.
Isn't it? It's so great.
I mean, 2019 is when you helped us launch your Enneagram Coach. Mm-hmm. Or no.
2020. Right?
No,
it was
2020.
It was right after COVID.
We were talking about it in 2019.
Yeah.
And then, you helped us start it literally when COVID was mm-hmm. starting, which mm-hmm. kind of felt like not a great time, but actually it was a really good time because people were stuck at home.
Yes.
And what else are you going to do but listen to podcasts? So
that's
actually really perfect timing. And you guided us the whole way.
Mm-hmm. So. It was really fun. We learned a lot together about podcasting.
Yeah, that's right.
It was we made a lot of plans and pivoted a lot of plans that year because there was so much going on in culture and in our society. And we were just figuring out how we wanted the podcast to go. And so as we responded to events, we just would pivot on a dime and it was fun. It was a lot of fun. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. So tell us what you're doing now, because you've had an amazing podcast called Chatology, which
that's
love
right.
that name, but things are changing. So tell us what's going on.
I am so excited. So in November, I actually relaunched my podcast. I rebranded, gave it a brand new name and a whole new focus. And so what was Chatology from 2017 until last month, which was an interview format where I just kind of generally did interviews on Christian topics, has now become the Let It Shine podcast with Angie Elkins. And I'm so excited about it because I feel like this year, I've been through sort of a real growth time for me in body and mind and spirit. And so as I started walking down this road, I felt like God really used it to speak to me about how I needed to be speaking and talking to other people. And so I decided it was time for a change in my podcast. And so the Let It Shine podcast is all about really sanctification over self-help. And it, which of course we love here at Your Enneagram Coach, right?
Right.
And so it's all about growing, but really learning to do it the way God intended for us to do it. And, you know, He created our bodies, minds, and spirits to all function together. They're all part of His creation. And so that's what my podcast focuses on. So I went through a real health journey this year. I don't know if you saw this, Beth, but I did a challenge called 75 Hard. Have you ever heard of it?
No, I haven't. But okay, here's the thing. It's like, I don't get on social media. I know I have a social media account, but I don't actually get in myself and like look at things. So I can't wait to hear what this is all about.
Okay. So 75 Hard, I won't go too deep into it because it's everywhere and anyone can look it up if you just look up that title. But it's a challenge where you do 5 things every day. The first one is 2 45-minute workouts a day. One of them has to be outside. So rain or shine, no matter what you're doing, it has to be outside. The second one is you have to drink a gallon of water. The third one is follow any diet or any healthy eating plan. The fourth one is you take a progress photo every day. And the fifth one is read 10 pages of nonfiction every day, which the Bible counts. So,
okay.
Anyway, so I did that. And if you do it for 75 days, and if you miss any one of those 5 things in any of those days, you have to start back at day one.
Whoa.
Yeah. So they say it's a mental toughness challenge. It's not really a physical challenge. It's a mental toughness challenge. And so, you know, I'm up for a challenge. I'm always up for a challenge. And I have always wanted to do that challenge and never really knew if I could do it. But this year, I decided I'm going to just try it and see if I can do it.
Yeah.
And I realized probably about day 3 or day 4 that I could do it. Like it would fit into my schedule. Okay. And so I did it. And during that time, I had to remove a lot of things from my life to make room for what was going to change in my life. And God just used that to really start opening up my mind and heart to what He wanted to do in my life. And so I created this new show, really born out of this challenge and everything I was learning as I was going through it.
Yeah. Okay. So Let It Shine means like, so for you, what does that mean? What's it encapsulating? Yeah.
Okay. So, well, as we experience growth, right, or sanctification, what we really are, we become really the way that God has intended us to live and to be, and we're able to shine. Just as He has said, be a light, let your light shine. We really are shinier and brighter when we are constantly pursuing and growing.
Yeah.
So that's where it comes from.
I love that. Okay. So with the Let It Shine and kind of the rebranding, let's go into your Enneagram type because I know that that has been quite a journey, you know, lots of learning and growing. We've done some coaching and then you worked for me. And so you've been around the Enneagram a ton.
I feel like I know a lot about the Enneagram because of you guys, for sure.
Right. But there's always that kind of feeling in the back of your mind, like, but am I truly a type 8?
Right.
And we've taken time to kind of unpack that together, where we had landed last. So tell me if this feels right to you, was that you were the social 8, which is a lookalike to the type 2.
Mm-hmm.
And that you have both very strong 7 and 9 wings.
Right.
You love the fun and the adventure. You hate missing out, but you also really embody the embrace of others and like kind of at times a calmer pace.
Yes.
But you're still at times feeling a little unsure. So kind of tell us where you're at right now.
We'll be back after a quick break.
Moms, I am so excited to share with you a huge and wonderful opportunity that we have created for you this summer. It's our Enneagram for Moms cohorts. Yes, a group of moms of your same Enneagram type coming together for a safe place to connect, share, and hear and be validated. Wouldn't that be amazing to be with other moms of your same Enneagram type who see the world through the same lens and truly understand you? It's going to be amazing. But here's the thing. There are only 25 spots per cohort. We have one in the daytime and one in the evening of your type to choose from. But you're going to want to sign up the day it opens. We open registration May 6th to May 13th. Now, these groups will kick off the week of June 10th, and they will go until the week of July 29th. That's 8 weeks together for 90 minutes, sharing, laughing, crying, being together in that safe, intimate place to connect with moms to develop deep, meaningful friendships. And there's so many other things that are going to come with the cohort. I hope that you will join us and learn more when you sign up on May 6th to May 13th at yourenneagramcoach.com/cohorts. I can't wait to see you there.
I don't know, Beth, when you describe it like that, I think, why am I unsure? That's exactly who I am. I think, honestly, I think what it is the stereotype of the eight. People talk about it so often that I think I'm not that. I am not that stereotype. And so when I hear people, you know, describing it, I think that's not me at all. But when I heard you describe it, I think, yeah, that is exactly me. So that is exactly me.
Let me unpack a little bit more of what I have come to know you as. So this is, again, from my perspective. This doesn't mean it's accurate or true, because the Enneagram is all about why you think, feel, and behave. And so I might see external behaviors, and this is why it's so important not to type people. I know everyone's out there going, oh, but so-and-so is this type, and I know they're this type. You don't know, trust me, because we don't know why people do what they do. Their outward behaviors may look a certain way, but could be for totally different internal motivations. So from my experience with you and just being a dear friend and coworker and all the things, so the eight fears being weak, vulnerable, harmed, unprotected, and left to injustice. So what the eight wants is to protect themselves and those that are in their, like, really tiny inner circle, like the people that mean the most to them. That is what they're really wanting to do, is to protect. But they struggle with the weakness of lust or excess. So they know what they want, and they go after what they want. And, you know, if someone's like in the way, it's like, hey, I don't know why you're there. You know, I'm just going after what I need to go after. And so I call eights, and you know this very well, big diesel snowplows. And when an eight is fully aware, healthy, they can see those around them very clearly, and they plow a path for them. They say, hey, get behind me. I've got it. Like, I can do this hard challenge. Like, this is doable. And they plow a path and so that others can also venture on that same journey. But the more an eight becomes less aware or completely unaware, they can slip into less healthy categories where they know the trajectory they want to go down. And, you know, kind of like a snowplow, I know I have to plow this path and I'm just going to go do it. And so then if they nick people on the side of the road or cars, it's like, well, why are you there? Like, don't you see this needs to happen? Like, why are you in the way? Instead of having awareness that people aren't always attuned to their environment, a healthy eight is like, hey, I can see that you're not attuned, that this big diesel snowplow is coming down the path. I'm going to go ahead and tell you to get behind me. So, you know, you're taken care of. That would be healthy. So the less healthy an eight is, the more they're like, hey, this is just the way it is. Like, get out of the way. And then an unhealthy eight is like, I don't really care. I'm just going to do what I need to do. And they plow over people.
Yeah.
So, but ultimately what an eight is longing for is to hear that you will not be betrayed. An eight normally feels that there isn't someone bigger and stronger than them, and that it's up to them to trust themselves for their own protection and safety. And that's where their strategies come in. Now, with those strategies, again, they can tap into the seven and use fun, exuberant, exciting activities to fill that gap. Or they can tap into the nine, where they're like, hey, I would really like some harmony and some peace. I want to be a safe place for others to feel a non-judgmental stance where they can come and be themselves, and I'm going to protect them in that space. But then they can move towards the two, right? So they're connected to two as well, and they can see others and see their needs and actually move towards and help them. But they also can move towards the five, where they're like, hey, I need to go inward. I need some time for myself. I need to slow it down, understand my internal world so that I'm not plowing over people. I can be much more attuned and aware. Now, of course, an eight can use all the unhealthy qualities of those types too, but I wanted to paint a picture that feels right for at least how I have experienced you. I experiencing you as this very grounded, strong presence that also has her arms wide open and is ready to embrace and care for others. Now, a lot of people that know eights, they may not experience that from an eight, but my perspective is that you've done a lot of self-work. You have a husband who's a nine, so he has introduced you to that nine world in new and fresh ways, but also that you've just done so much work with Christ and the Holy Spirit to embrace the other qualities of like the two, of moving towards people, helping them, and not just being about what you want and grabbing what you want, and owning what the eight is and how that can be a hard space of, I know what I want. Why are people in the way? You know, and acknowledging that and letting it be. So for me, I sense that you embody a beautiful representation of a woman who's an eight, who wants to nurture and care for others, but also struggles with, but I don't look like the eight that other people paint or the way the books paint it.
Yeah.
Does this feel like you?
Yeah, it 100% does. You know, a lot of people think that I'm a seven as well. And I think maybe what you just described, that I lean toward the fun or, you know, and all of that, that is 100% true. I know you tell a story about me when you're out teaching and the roller coaster.
I do. Yes. Go ahead and say it, because it's like, it's a perfect representation really of a seven. This is when you are literally tapping into, well, and the eight wants what they want, but the seven, like, just, it's such a perfect representation of the seven part of your heart. But go ahead and tell it, because I just think it's fabulous.
Well, my husband and I were in line to ride Seven Dwarfs Mine Train at Magic Kingdom. This was when it really was early on, had opened. And we were so excited, and we waited over an hour, like a really good long time, to ride that ride. And we finally got on. We're on the ride as the ride is
riding. You've been waiting like months to be on this ride, right?
Yes,
this is the first time you've experienced.
As we're on the ride, I turned to him probably like after we came down a hill, and I said, what do you want to do next? It was like I wasn't experiencing it. I was already thinking ahead to what was next. And I mean, I am very guilty of that. Always looking down the road at what's coming next, maybe as I'm driving my snowplow, I've got to know what's coming next. But, you know, there are certain situations where a dilemma is presented and I can work it out all the way down to what's going to eventually happen. And to me, I just want to jump in and get there. Like, let's just go ahead and cut the chase and get to the end. We know how to solve this problem, but there are others who just have to take a process and take time and all of that.
And we've talked about, sorry, I interrupted you. But you and I, we've talked about, okay, am I a seven or am I an eight? Because there's so much of both within you. And I would bring up particular scenarios to highlight, okay, well, what would you do? Or how would you think, feel, and behave in those particular situations? And so I'll just kind of bring up it now just to kind of, you know, double check, make sure.
Yeah.
But let's do it. When you are in a situation, the, let's say a circumstance that's not super pleasant, the eight must be in reality. Like they want to see it. They want to deal with it. They want to get through it. It can be hard. It can be challenging. It can be unpleasant. Yeah. That's okay. But we are going to get through it.
Yeah.
The seven is like, I am not going to experience the hard and the painful and the difficult. We are going to paint it with rose colored glasses. We are going to have fun. There's going to be a silver lining. Do not make me sit in those hard spaces.
Yeah.
Which one feels more accurate for you?
100% the eight. 100%. And I can give you a really good example. The challenge that I did this year, 75 yeah. hard. What I learned about myself was I kind of had a picture of what I thought my body should look like, right? Like not a perfect body, but I had gained a lot of weight. I'd had a lot of stress last year, like lots of reasons.
Yeah.
But I knew it was me that had put me there. Okay. So this is not like a body positivity thing. This is, I had not done my part in taking care of my body and found myself in a bad place. Mm-hmm. So I knew that it was within my control to change the situation. But that's hard. And it was like it just clicked with me one day where I thought, it's hard and I just got to do it. I've just got to face it head on and hunker down, as they say, and do yeah. it. And yeah. so for me, that's a hard look at reality. Like, okay, what am I actually doing 100% of the time consistently? And when I took a hard look at that and faced it and said, okay, I can change this, and I was willing to walk through the hard thing and do it, it worked.
Yeah. And yeah. So basically what you did was you saw yourself and the need that yourself had.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of said to that less healthy self, hey, get behind me. The healthy self is going to plow a path for us.
Yes. Yes.
We're going to do this hard work.
It's like a battle between the two people inside me.
Yep.
It's like the one that does not want to do the hard stuff. I mean, we all deal with this. There's one side of me that does not want to do it. I don't want to sacrifice what I have to sacrifice to get to where I want to get. And then there's the other side of me that knows what's required. And if I can just let this side win, I can get there.
Yeah. Well, and so, you know, in our book, More Than Your Number, we talk about the wounded child and the beloved child. So it's really the wounded child is not, they're wanting to be rescued. They don't want to do the hard stuff. And there are a lot of reasons for it. The story, the childhood, the trauma, the whatever was happening, they're looking for someone to step in the gap for them. And yet it's scary. So we have all these strategies that we're using to kind of push it away in some form or fashion and not go in the healthier direction, because the healthier direction for whatever type you are is super hard. Like for me as a nine, that means I have to literally be in reality and I have to do the hard things and face conflict or face tension that I don't want to do. But
yeah.
When I actually go through it, so many great things come about, but it is so hard and it can be painful and it can be scary. And so really what I'm hearing from you is your beloved self, the adult part of your heart, was able to recognize what the wounded part of your heart, the childlike part of your heart, needed. And you were able to stand in the gap and protect the wounded part and to lead the wounded part of your heart. Does that feel accurate?
Absolutely. Protect and lead, defend, all of those things for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And even from itself, right? I mean, and not to paint that it is wrong or bad, but it's choosing things that aren't beneficial for the whole of you.
That's so right.
The other thing that we talked about right before we came on, you know, when we stopped ourselves because we were like, well, let's not like get into it. Let's let the mm-hmm. podcast capture it, which I do all the time, was you were like, but Beth, I feel a lot of times like a four.
Mm-hmm.
So now I've painted this picture of what, how I see you. And you're like, you confirmed. Yes. Oh my gosh. That is so to me. Why am I questioning right. if I'm an eight or not?
Yeah.
But let's unpack the four part of your heart. What okay. is arising over there that makes you sometimes question, maybe I'm a four?
I think when I read things about the Enneagram, and I know you probably don't love like Instagram Enneagram teaching all the time. I love the Your Enneagram Coach account, but you know, there are so many Enneagram accounts on Instagram and they all have different things, right? And I'm sure they're not all accurate, but a lot of the times I'll find myself reading through the numbers. And when I get to four, I stop and think, that resonates with me. And it's specifically, there are a couple of things about four that resonate with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The need to be an individual or original, that is definitely true of me. I highly value that, especially when it comes to my home, maybe what I wear, things like that. I don't like to be a copycat. And mm-hmm. I like that I live in a 1928 Florida bungalow that was built on an orange grove. It's unique, original. Mm-hmm. I love that. So that really resonates with me. Also, the feeling like I'm on the outside looking in, that really resonates with me a lot. Mm-hmm. I think especially in my younger years, I felt that way. But I know what you're going to say. It's because I'm adopted. It's where it's connected. That's where you're going, Beth McCord. But yeah, so those two things specifically, and then the way they play out, you know, in life, like am I just always the odd man out here? Like I never really quite fit in this situation. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But I think that's great because, you know, bringing up that you were adopted is a valuable piece of the puzzle. But I think what's also something to think about or ponder on, and I can't remember if we've ever done this work or talked about this, but the tri-type. Have we ever even ventured into the tri-type?
Well, when you guys were writing the book, you know, as the team, we kind of walked through it together where we would use the worksheet and we read all the numbers around that. And four was definitely always been part of my tri-type that I've thought. I mean, I've always thought I was seven and four were part of my tri-type. And I can't remember the third one.
Well, it'd be eight.
Eight. Okay. Eight, yeah. Seven, four.
And that's what I was thinking. But I was like, well, I'd love to hear, you know, what we had said in the past. Mm-hmm. And so the tri-type, for those that are listening, they're like, what is this? Well, the Enneagram has lots of layers. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, are there really just nine types? Yes, there are nine basic types, but man, the layers that come off of the Enneagram, you are unique. And people are like, well, how does that all work? Well, think about all the colors of the world come from the blue, the red, and the yellow. You just need three primary colors to have millions and billions of colors, right? Like it's infinite. Yeah. So yes, we can have nine basic Enneagram types, but it doesn't mean you're just in this one box. It just means that the core motivations of that Enneagram type are the driving force to why you think, feel, and behave in particular ways, but it doesn't encapsulate the whole of you. So the tri-type, and you guys can, you know, listen to Catherine Favre, who's done all the research behind the tri-types. But it just shows that with the head, the heart, and the gut, and the triads, the centers of intelligence, you have your main type in one of those, and you have two sub-main types in the other. So erase the lines, don't look at the wings. What would be the other strategies that you might use from the head center and the heart center for you, because 8 resides in the gut center. So from my recollection, that's why I wanted to ask, is that the 7 really resonates with you in the head center and 4 resonates in the heart center. So what this means is that when your strategies as a type 8 in the gut, the body center aren't working, what will arise is either the 7 in the head center or the 4 in the heart center. And this is a cascading effect. It's happening all the time. It's like fast. It's not like you're sitting there going, I'm going to use my 7 now and I'm going to use my 4 now.
Right.
It's happening all the time. But again, your main type is the 8. So that is the absolute, it reigns supreme over everything. So when push comes to shove, the 8 is like, everyone get out of the way. This is how it's done. But by understanding this layer of the Enneagram, what it does is it allows you to acknowledge this 4 part of your heart, because there are no lines to the 4. There is not a wing to the 4 from the 8. And so it can feel very complex and strange. Now, saying all of that, the 8 also is similar to the 4, where it's the reactive type, same with 6. So 4s, 6s, and 8s react to situations emotionally. And so, hey, you are very emotional. But what I loved is that the things that you picked had a lot to do with 4-ish qualities. So 8s, of course, want autonomy. But you're also adding, I want autonomy, but I also want to be uniquely me. I want to showcase qualities of myself that are unique to me. But also, the 8 can feel can fear rejection, but the 4 feels displaced. Do I belong? So you're bringing up qualities that are very 4-like. And yes, we could definitely marry the adoption piece to that. That is a part of the story. But the tri-type helps us to say, yes, that is a part of me. The 4 is a part of me, and I can embrace that part of me and not shoo it off as if it doesn't belong. And what that does is it allows you to be a more fuller version of who you are. So when we look at you as a type 8, what we're seeing is you're the social 8, which looks very 2-ish. You not only have a wing of a 7, but the 7 is in your tri-type. So it's pretty potent in you.
Yeah, it is.
But you have a lot of 9-ish qualities in you. You're married to a 9. So that also has a lot of qualities, which that in the social 8 kind of simmers the 8 a little bit. It helps or it makes it that people don't see the 8 in the stereotypical way. But you also have the line to 2. And so that helps you to want to get out and to help and bless others. The 5 space helps you to go more inward. And now this 4 part of your tri-type says, I want to be unique, but I also want to, I want to belong. Why am I always feeling a little bit outside the space? So all of these layers help us to paint a more intricate, detailed picture of why we are the way we are. It doesn't mean we have to stay in that space. We can always grow. We can always let go of our strategies and become the truer version of ourselves. But it also highlights God made me unique and different. Does that painting, a fuller painting of the picture from even before when we first started, does that honor the 4 part of your heart?
It really does. Yeah, it really does. And it really helps me even understand kind of how the Enneagram works a little bit better, because I do remember early days when I was first learning about the Enneagram, and I learned that there were lines and all of those things. And I thought, well, there are so many numbers that connect to my number. How can I just be one number? you know, but what you're saying is you have one main type, but every number really influences. Well, not every number, but a lot of the numbers influence.
They do. They all influence, but it's at different degrees. So what I always tell people, okay, think about you cooking a filet mignon. So your main type is the filet mignon, and you're going to cook it perfectly, let's even say. Well, we use different things to enhance the flavor of even this beautiful piece of the filet mignon. You use some salt and use some pepper. So think of those as your wings. And you might use some butter. You might use some different spices. Those could be your lines. And then your tri-type, you know, you even add more pieces. The elements that you use the most. So for you, again, it's the 7 and the 9 with the 2 and the 5. And now you add in the 4. Then think of those as flavors or oil or butter or things that you use often. And they're sitting right next to your stove as you cook. Now, there are some other spices in the cabinet that you can reach and that you use occasionally, but it's not often. And those are the other types that are sitting in the Enneagram that you probably have noticed popped up. You know, there's the type 1, I'm sure that you've noticed that pop up, and the 6, and is that it? And a 3. Mm-hmm. All of those do show up from time to time, but just not as much. So those are kind of like the spices or whatever in the cabinet that you go and you reach for. They're still there. They're just not accessed as often. And so what we want to recognize is all of these have influence on your mate type. Now, here's what I show people is like, okay, so if you're cooking a filet mignon and you're less healthy, you're going to over season with salt and pepper and do all these things that it's like, ugh, that's not bringing the best qualities of what this is. And that's what we want to see is like, how can we be our most authentic and truest version of ourselves while using these other elements to highlight? We don't want to use these as strategies that hinder and constrict and make it unapproachable, basically. We want to use these elements to enhance, to draw out the best qualities of what we already are, how God designed us to be. Does this kind of help paint a better picture?
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think as I was younger, and you know, we've talked about this before, but growing up in the South in a really conservative Christian culture, that 9 wing really came in handy, that
yes,
line to 2 really, really came in handy. And so I do think that those things really kind of molded me into maybe a softer 8. But also, I think that I can remember specific situations when I was in college where I was trying to be more like a 9 or like a 2, but my 8 was really battling it. You know, it was like I was trying to be who I was, or I wanted, I was trying to be who I was not.
Yeah.
But I wanted to be that, let the 8 come out. And maybe I felt like it was not okay, you know? And I mean, I'm sure a lot of female 8s can resonate with the fact that we are very rarely valued when we do let that 8 come out and be completely who we are. One of the reasons I loved working with you and Jeff is because you said, not only do we like the fact that you're an 8, but we actually want you on the team because you're an 8. Like that, that actually makes you more valuable to us.
Yes. I need you to be your 8. Yes.
And I always tell people that about 8s in the workplace too, is like, we'll be your biggest defenders. We'll be your biggest cheerleader. We will defend you. We will go to bat for you. We will make you look good. Like all of those things. That's who we want to be. But we also have very strong opinions and very, you know, strong feelings about things, and really just need to be heard. And I think that maybe that kind of combines with that 4. Sometimes if I don't feel heard, it makes me feel like I'm on the outside, or not on the inside, but I'm on the outside looking in.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think that connects?
Oh, 100%. Because really society, at least here in America, I'm not going to speak for other countries or societies, and maybe not all people, all 8 women feel this way, because there could be even pockets of different ethnic groups or cultures and stuff like that that might be different. But I think the culture you and I have been in, a type 8 woman has definitely been told to edit themselves, right?
Yes.
Don't be you. Don't be the strong one. Don't be the outspoken one. Don't be the protective one in the way that you're doing it. You must be different. Mm-hmm. And that only really would land on me as mm-hmm. rejection, you know?
Right.
And in order to have a place, in order to belong, a strategy you had to learn is to grab some of the parts of these other types to quote unquote edit yourself, to mm-hmm. mold into what the society is requiring of you just enough to belong. But then the sad thing is then you're not being your true authentic self. That's the way right. that God designed you to be. Now, what I think society and people really do want and need is kind of like what we said when you worked for us is like, no, we need you to be the eight,
yeah.
but we obviously want you to do it in the healthiest way, the best expression of who you are. Of course, you want that and we want that. So again, are you plowing a path for the benefit of yourself and us, or are you plowing a path against yourself and others?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think if people were to see it in that light, of course, mm-hmm. we want you to be the healthiest version of yourself because you're going to plow a path that no one else can do. Like a lot of times, you know, people are like, oh, well, look at me. I can plow a path. It's like, no, you're a Ford with a Ford pickup truck with a shovel on the front. Like yeah. you can't plow a highway with a foot of snow. Only certain mm-hmm. people can really are made to do it that way. And that's why, you know, Martin Luther King Jr. is such a great example. Yes, there were lots of people in the civil rights movement, but he was the front person. He mm-hmm. was taking on the opposition and the protest and the hate and all the things and saying, hey, get behind me. We are going to go in this direction. Yeah. But unfortunately for a lot of women, they don't get the same space, the same mm-hmm. assurance, the same honor, the same respect to plow a path. Mm-hmm. And that's what really makes me sad. And I think if people were to see an eight as this snowplow, mm-hmm. then it helps us to honor the eight, especially women, to say, hey, how could you plow a path for us versus against us?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're setting up the eight for success. You're setting the eight to be their true self. Now it's going to take time for the eight to learn the strategies that they're doing that actually it feels normal to them, but it's actually plowing a path against others versus for others. And as they learn which way is the healthier way, mm-hmm. they will be set free to actually be their true self. Mm-hmm. And others are going to be championing them along the way. And I think that's what you've experienced as mm-hmm. you, and I would love to hear even as you're now starting this podcast, Let It Shine, how do you envision that almost being a rebrand of this new way of who you even are?
Mm-hmm. Well, how do I envision it being a rebrand? So I think actually going through the challenge that I went through this year was I was plowing a path for myself. I think I was fighting with that, you know, younger child in myself. And I still am, by the way.
And we still will.
I still am. Yes.
Yeah.
I still am. So it's not like I've defeated it. It's gone and done.
Right.
But what I have realized is that if I can do it, anyone who wants to can do it. And I'll be here and hold your hand in the process. Like, let's just walk through it together. I've gone before and plowed that little path. So you just kind of follow along, teach you the things I've learned, and we'll get there. So yeah, for sure. I would say that. I do have a question though for you about this, mm-hmm. because I think that it's an interesting dilemma because I'm still in the South. I'm still in conservative Christian culture. But I also want to be who God created me to be. A friend of mine texted me the other day. She said, I just dropped a t-shirt off at your house I bought for you. You're going to love it and you're going to laugh at it. And I was like, okay. So I got home, I held up the t-shirt and it said Disruptor on it. It's like, I just can't help it. Right. I just can't help it. She bought one for herself and for me. So I want to, I don't know what the right word is for this. Maybe you can help me find it, Beth. I want to temper my harsh side, which I feel like I do pretty well, but I want to temper it in a way that I am winsome and that I am welcome into difficult situations and difficult conversations, where my emotion or anger doesn't overtake, right?
Yep.
So here's an example. I was in a meeting. I was invited to be part of a creative meeting at my church. I was so excited to be there. I hadn't been invited in years to participate in something like that. And I made sure I was not the first one to talk. I was not the first one to answer every question, even though I knew the answer, you know. And sometimes I would wait and let everyone answer. And one time I even waited so long that they moved on to the next question. And I had to go, oh, wait, no, I wanted to say something about that, you know.
Yeah.
And so I find myself, I don't know, I feel like maybe I'm overworking to try not to be too much.
Do you feel, though, that you're still honoring and able to say what needs to be said when you feel you need to say it?
Yes, but there are times where I don't know if I need to say it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like I am sort of learning what battle to fight, I guess, is the best way to put it. Don't fight every battle. Know which ones to fight, which ones not to fight, maybe which ones to fight later. And that's probably a bigger struggle for me, is just knowing which battle is mine to fight. Or in the prayer of St. Francis, I was just thinking about this week. My husband and I were talking about, it was like St. Francis. I'm sure it wasn't St. Francis Day, but it's something like that. And we were talking about the prayer of St. Francis. And the hardest thing for me in that prayer is knowing what is mine to do and doing it, and then knowing what is not mine to do. That's not the words. Do you know the words?
No, but I know exactly what you're saying.
Yes. And so, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, and that is the tension that we will always live in. Mm. So I guess my question for you is, as you are learning, when I work with AIDS, I talk about having a dimmer switch. So like, you know, when you have a light in the room and if
I'm going to let it shine.
Right. But the eight has it at 100% and it is very bright.
Yes, it is.
And they think it's great because it's like they feel alive and exuberant and like it just means so much to them and their passion is just being exuded. But most other people are like, whoa, that's a lot. And the message the eights get is turn it down or stop being so bright or, you know, that's too much. You know, there's lots of messages. But so what I try to help the eights to realize is that by having your dimmer switch on at 100% all the time, which feels exuberating and exciting for you, what happens to the light bulb over time? It's going to go out much quicker than if it's dialed back a little bit. Now, here's the thing. Us nines, we're at like 30-40% dimmer switch and we need to ratchet it up a little bit, right?
Yeah.
Like, hey, let's get involved. Like, show your passion. Like, let's go. Mm-hmm. But so for the eight, what I try to encourage is like, hey, I'm not wanting you to edit yourself to what's not true of who you are. But if you even brought it down to 80%, that's still a pretty bright light, but it's going to honor yourself, your body. Because a lot of times eights, even though you're in the gut body center, you are not attuned to what your body needs until your body literally shuts down. So what this does is it's saying, hey, we want you to pay attention to the whole of you and others. And if you're able to bring your true self to that 80% mark, you're still a very bright light. You are able to show your passions, your desires, but not at the expense of yourself nor others. Mm-hmm. Now, initially, the eight feels that same message of you need to edit yourself. But I think if the eight were to press into that longer, they're not going to hear the message, edit yourself. It's more take good care of yourself. And when you take mm-hmm. good care of yourself, you are also taking good care of those around you. How does that land on you? Like what does yes. that feel like?
Well, the words take good care of yourself really resonate with me because of that defender in me. I almost feel like it's defending myself in a lot of ways. Like I'm taking care of myself, protecting myself. And I do kind of default to that in some situations. In the situations yeah. I've been talking about, you know, like with my physical body, I've sort of been separating my body from every mm-hmm. other part of me, just not yep. taking care of it until this year. Yep. But there are other situations where I default to taking care of myself or defending myself. And it has more to do with, I don't want to get wrapped into doing something I don't want to do, which feels very seven to mm-hmm. me, you know, like I'm not yeah. going to get locked into doing something right. I don't want to do.
Don't trap me.
No, don't trap me. So yeah, that definitely resonates with me.
And this is why understanding kind of the whole of the Enneagram, not that you have to know all the little intricacies and knowledge and geek out on it, like, mm-hmm. you know, an Enneagram coach or experts, not like that, but just like our simple conversation here today, by you understanding, and this is where our book, More Than Your Number, comes into play, by you understanding that you have your main type, the type eight, and its core motivations, but you also have these other parts of you that are affecting and influencing your main type, whether in a positive way with the beloved child, the mm-hmm. adult part of yourself, or negatively influencing you with the wounded child or the child part of your heart, because it's scared. It has its strategies from as a little kid. It doesn't know any better. These all impact you in mm-hmm. some form or fashion. So by understanding a fuller version, a fuller scope of the Enneagram, isn't to necessarily know all the things. It's to understand it enough so that you can know when to turn, let's say, your school bus, your inner life into a better, healthier direction. And so by understanding this, for you to go, oh, I'm feeling like I'm being trapped. My seven part is really online right now and it wants to escape. That's you hitting a rumble strip on the highway. Mm-hmm. It's alerting you and you are now aware that this is going on and you have the choice. I can either escape or I can sit in this. I can hold a greater capacity within myself to know what my unhealthy strategies typically are. And am I going to choose a different course of action that's healthier? That's really what you're learning in this season. You, by doing this 75 day, right?
75 challenge. Hard. Yeah.
So by doing that, you have gained a greater capacity to sit in what's hard.
Yes.
And to know that you can be fine, that you can do hard things.
That's
and
right.
good things come out of holding that greater capacity. And so that's really, I think, what the Enneagram can show you is as you see these different parts of you popping up in their less healthy ways, mm-hmm. it's not, oh my gosh, I'm the worst, or like all the shame that we typically probably do. It's, oh, I have a need. I'm mm-hmm. fearing something, or I'm lonely, or I am scared, or I'm hurt, or whatever it is. There's something I need. And can I sit and hold this for a moment to figure out what's going on so that I can know what the healthier trajectory I need to move in. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you've been doing this year is the hard things, gaining more capacity to know yourself better, to actually give yourself what it needs. And then it will be a natural ripple effect into the lives of others.
Yeah, that's so good. That's so good. You just make it so clear, Beth.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, I am so excited for the journey that you are on and have been on. Mm-hmm. And so with that, just again, tell everyone where they can find you, where yes. they can listen to this podcast, because obviously mm-hmm. it's going to be amazing, and it is amazing because you're amazing, but where can they find you?
Yeah. So on Instagram, that's the place I like to be the most for social media. And that's Angie Brown Elkins on Instagram. And then look up the Let It Shine podcast wherever you listen to your shows. And I will tell you, we are doing challenges. As I mentioned, I like a challenge. And so
yeah.
I do think like entering into a challenge really expands our capacity to do hard things. And yeah. I've even heard recently that when you feel overwhelmed or you feel like you can't do one more thing, actually challenge yourself to do something else. And yeah. It just helps. It really works. And so, especially as we head into the new year, I would love for people to follow me along on the podcast and look at what we're doing for our challenge. So there'll be, you know, levels. You can go hard or you can go medium, or what's hard for you, you know, start yep. there. But definitely yep. check it out, because we're going to be challenging ourselves in the new year.
Well, I'm going to be checking it out. I know that for sure. Angie, thank you so much, one, for being such a dear friend,
support thank you.
Of me. And just over the years, you've been such a support for me. And I just am so grateful for you,
thank you
and all of you and who you represent. So now you can rest in the fullness of who you are as a beautiful type 8 and all the intricacies that you offer the world. Thank you for joining us
That's
today.
Right. You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Beth.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed my time with Angie as much as I did. She is such a dear friend, but I kind of want to share with you some of the thoughts I was having behind the scenes. So when I saw that she was still kind of torn about her type, I was kind of surprised and like, okay, well, this will be interesting to kind of unpack, you know, where she's at and why she's feeling conflicted. But as we were talking and I was able to share with her kind of a fuller picture, if you will, of the type I've always seen her as and the type that we've kind of unpacked over the years, it was, I think, really helpful for her to go, oh, yes, now I remember, now I can see. And that's where I think it's really important for all of us to recognize books and podcasts and things that we learn about each of the types is painting a picture, but it's not the full picture. And as we see with the Enneagram, a lot of times we do have to nuance it. And for some people, we have to nuance it even more because they don't look like the stereotypical type of whatever type they reside in. And Angie is a perfect example of that. And that's okay. That's beautiful. This is the way that God has designed her, and it's part of her own story and understanding the trueness of who she is. So for those of you that sometimes don't feel like you fit the mold of a particular type, that is fine. And that is who you are. You might need to get an Enneagram coach to help you to really understand the different layers and complexities of your type and the uniqueness of who you've been created to be. And if that's you, great. Get a certified Enneagram coach with one of our certified coaches at myenneagramcoach.com. But if you're like, man, I love hearing Beth talk with someone and unpack the Enneagram and having aha moments, guys, this is exactly what I get to do all the time. And if you're interested in kind of seeing what that would look like for you, then get our free mini course on becoming an Enneagram coach. And you can get that at yourenneagramcoach.com/mini course. Or you can email us at info@yourenneagramcoach.com. And we would love to help guide you in what being an Enneagram coach is all about. Well, I hope that you guys will take the time to truly understand who you really are, who God created you to be, and to grow in the healthiest version of that, because not only will it impact you in really remarkable, freeing, joyful ways, but it will have a ripple effect on the lives of others. Remember, the Enneagram is not about you working harder. It is about understanding who Christ is in and through you, because it is the gospel that transforms us. I'll see you next time at Your Enneagram Coach, the podcast.